So now Chaitanya Bhagavat. 2 days ago in class, we left Lord Chaitanya, or rather, Vishwambar Mahaprabhu. He had again assumed his mood of being the arrogant scholar, the proud teacher of Sanskrit. Although, when he first came back from Gaya, he was absorbed in his mood of Radharani searching for Krishna and becoming extremely exhibiting different symptoms of ecstasy, searching for Krishna. And he started teaching all the students that Krishna is everywhere and every syllable is Krishna, and Krishna is the origin of all the Sanskrit, and everything was Krishna. And the students complained to the teacher. They complained to the dean of the school. Who is the dean of the school? The dean of the school is Gangadas Pandit. Gangadas Pandit was the guru of Sanskrit, of Nimai Pandit. So they went and said, listen, your student, he has some disturbance in his life airs. He's a murkha. He's speaking crazy. He's just, everything he's telling us is Krishna. He's not teaching us Sanskrit. So then Gangadas called Nimai on the carpet. He called him in the office and said, listen, what is this? Neither your family are crazy. There are no murkas. There's no murks in either one of your family, in your mother or father's family. Now I taught you Sanskrit. Now you go forth and you start teaching the sutras and teaching the Sanskrit shastras properly to your students. Don't become a disgrace. Don't become a mockery. Don't make a mockery of my teachings. As you judge a tree by its fruits. So people are judging me now. What is this Gangadas? He made this Nimai Pandit into some Hare Krishna. So then Nimai went back with renewed enthusiasm. He started teaching his students Sanskrit. And then he took a group of his students and said, come on, let's go. Let's walk through the streets of Navadvipa. We'll go from house to house visiting Brahmins. And I'll personally challenge that Brahmin. And I'll make my arguments in Sanskrit and challenge him to refute those arguments. And the students were saying, yes, Nimai, this is the Nimai we knew. This is Nimai we adored. And let's go, Nimai, let's fight. Let's challenge, let's fight everyone. So he went to a few houses of random Brahmins in Navadvipa. And he challenged them and he defeated them. And all the students said, Jai Ho, Jai Nimai Panaki, Jai Ho. Defeat. Now this is Nimai. Then they came to one door of one Brahmin named Ratnagarbha Acharya. Now Ratnagarbha Acharya, he was a great pundit, but more especially, he was a pure devotee of the Lord. He was a Shuddha Bhakta, Premi Bhakta. So when they came to that door, they heard that inside the house he was not reciting Sanskrit and logic and all these things. He was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. And he recited some verses in such a way when Nimai heard them, again, he had a relapse. He had a relapse and he went back into his Mahabhav of Radharani searching for Krishna. And Nimai fell on the ground, started rolling on the ground at the feet of his students at the doorstep of Ratnagarbha Acharya's house. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And seeing this display of ecstasy, Ratnagarbha was understanding, oh, this is a great personality. And then Nimai, he told him, he said, Panaji, tell me more, tell me more, tell me more. So then he started reciting more shlokas. Ratnagarbha Acharya started reciting more shlokas from the Bhagavatam. And Nimai went into more ecstasy. Then he embraced. So that's where we left off 2 days ago. Now, seeing his devoted recitation of Bhagavat, Nimai became very pleased and embraced him. Prema Lingana, remember? We said that. Pahiya Vaikuntha Naya Nayak era Alingan Preme Purna Ratnagarbha Hailata Kan. Being embraced by the Lord of Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha Nayak, the hero. Is he saying the Lord? Vaikuntha Nayak means actually the hero of Vaikuntha. Ratnagarbha became filled with love of God. Prem Purna Ratnagarbha Hailata Kan. Prem Purna. So by that Alingana, as we mentioned earlier, that Alingana was not an ordinary Alingana. Alingana means embrace. It was a Premalingana. And he transferred, Mahaprabhu transferred, because as I mentioned the other day, if you look at these leelas in Chaitanya Bhagavat, especially after his initiation, everywhere it's a two-sided coin. Everywhere there's Madhurya Leela and Audarya Leela. Sometimes it's going like this, it's going Madhurya Leela. And then next moment it goes Audarya Leela, then Madhurya Leela and Audarya Leela. Because they're inseparable. It's like the right hand is going like this, Audarya Leela, then the left hand is moving like this, Madhurya Leela. So when he was hearing the Bhagavatam, Nimai Pandit, from Ratnagarbha, then he was absorbed in his own Madhurya, his own Braja Madhurya, his own mahabhav, and is in ecstasy. The next moment, he comes back to his bahir, his external consciousness. Then he temporarily leaves that mood of madhurya and enters the mood of audharya. Audharya means distribution of the madhurya, distributing the sweetness of braj. Madhurya is relishing the sweetness, the internal ecstasies, the prema, the feelings of love and union with Krishna and Radha, or the separation, the sambhog or the viraha. And then because it's Gauranga, the next moment there's audharya. So then he comes to external consciousness. Who has filled me with this sweetness? Who has given me these verses? Who has spoken like this to catapult me into these highest ranges of mahabhav and separation? Oh, it's this Brahman. Oh, now it's time to become. It's like Clark Kent and Superman. You know, he's a newspaper reporter, then he's Superman. Oh, now I should distribute the sweetness he's given me. And he sent me into, and I'm relishing this Braj Bhav, this ecstatic Mahabhava of Radharani. Now let me give it to him. So then he reaches out and he grabs this Ratnagarbha and he embraces him. And then that's a prema lingana. That's what it says. He poured a prema. He filled the heart. So that's audharya. He transferred, he distributed the madhurya into the heart of Ratnagarbha. So then garbha means heart. Means hidden place, secret place, womb. So then so Mahabhu gave him that great jewel. He gave him the jewel, Prem Nidhi. Prem Nidhi means the jewel, the treasure of Prem. He instilled it in the heart of Ratnagarbha. So that's, then he really became Ratnagarbha. Because Ratna means jewel. Then he could become an acharya, not of Sanskrit, but he could, or a pandit, but he could become an acharya of Prem. Gauranga Prem Sangha. Right? So this, you see, if, when you understand this, when you read the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, all at every, I'm reverse, one verse it's Madhurya, next verse it's audharya, and then it's Madhurya, audharya. Because this is the avatar. Prabhura charana dari ratna garbha khande bandi hoila dvija chaitan yera prema pande. Ratna garbha cried loudly as he clasped on to the Lord's feet. Charana dhari, Prabhu charana dhari. He's holding. Cherishing the lotus feet of Prabhu, Vishrambara Mahaprabhu. Thus the Brahman was ensnared in the network of Lord Chaitanya's love. Bandi Dvija Chaitanya Prema Phande. So he was a loving network. He was tied up to be so fortunate. We can only pray to be so fortunate, to be a Nadia Brahman, being. And the Lord comes doing, he's doing door-to-door sankirtan. Has anyone ever done door-to-door sankirtan here? You knock on a door and sell books. So this Lord Chaitanya is doing door-to-door sankirtan. Of course, we don't advise any of the sankirtan devotees to embrace the people. Sir, Hare Krishna, or Madam, Hare Krishna. Hey, you might be not on the sankirtan party for very long. Maya may sweep you away. But Mahaprabhu is it. He came. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gorja Senama Prema Pradayate. His business is to taste the prema and distribute the prema. So one verse he's tasting and relishing. Next verse he's distributing. So tasting is madhurya, relishing, and distributing is audharya. And he's weeping, holding onto the feet, weeping. Puna puna pare shloka prema dyukta haya. Bala bala bale prabhu hankara kariya. As the Brahman repeatedly recited verses with love and devotion, the Lord exclaimed loudly, go on reciting. So now the Brahman, he served the Lord's madhurya. He served his cause. He said, oh, the Lord wants to relish this madhurya. Let me read verses. And then the Lord relished the verses. But this is the nature of love. You serve me and please me, but I want to serve you and please you. So now the Lord said, oh, who has done this? He served me and pleased me so much. Oh, now I should do something for him. So then he embraces him and ensnares him and wraps him up in a network of prem, of braja prem. So he distributes that to him. And then the Brahman is so appreciative, he's crying, holding onto his feet. Now he's thinking, oh, I'm so pleased. I'm so happy with this. Now let me please and serve the Lord. And how can I do that? Recite verses about the Bhagavatam, and again he'll submerge in the ocean of Madhurya. So then the Brahma says, now it's not my turn. What can I do? I can simply recite these verses, because when Radharani hears these verses glorifying Krishna's Nam, Rup, Gun, and beauty, then she'll be in ecstasy. So then he starts doing his service. Puna Puna Pade Shloka, lines of shlokas, Prema Yukta. And now, before when we read, it was saying he was reciting Pade Shloka. He was reciting, but now it's Prema Yukta, Prem Yuga. It means it's mixed with, it's now he's speaking, but he's not just speaking the shlokas, which were igniting the prema of Gauranga's heart. Now when he's speaking the shlokas, they're mixed with prema, because he received that prema from Lord Gauranga. And that's how it happens. That we have no prema, and then Krishna instills a prema in our heart when we're pure, and then we use that prema that he's given us to give back to Krishna. And this is what prema seva is all about. First he instills a prema in our heart, or his parishads, and then when he gives us his prema. And then now we have his prema, now we know how to please him by prema seva. So that's what's happening here. He gave the prema to this Brahmin, Ratnagarbha, and Ratnagarbha with that prema now mixes that prema in the shlokas. Now you can imagine what his recitation of shlokas is going to do to Gauranga. And already before, when he's reciting, when he didn't have the prema, and he's reciting the shlokas, Gauranga's rolling on the floor, ah, Krishna, now we don't know what's going to happen. Dekiya sabarahaila aparupa gyan Nagariya Sabadeki Kare Paranam. On seeing this, the local inhabitants, Dekiya Sabara, were struck with wonder and offered their respectful obeisances. Nagariya Sabadeki Kare Paranam. They were like, wow, what's going on here? This is a dynamic, this is a most extraordinary, astonishing internal exchange of divine love between Bhagavan and Bhakta. And we can't really understand the depths of their exchange or what they're relishing in each other's association. But we can understand it's something amazing, it's something wonderful, it's something sweet, it's something attractive. And the only thing we can do in response is Dandavat Prabhu, Dandavat. All we can do is offer respectful obeisances, because we're on the outside looking in. The jar, the honey's inside the jar, and we're on the outside. These two, Bhagavan and Bhakta, Bhagavan Vishwambhara Mahaprabhu and Bhakta Ratnagarbhacharya, they are relishing the sweetest honey of Madhurya Ras. So, Dandavas, Dandavas, Dandavas. Then Gadadhar said, because Gadadhar was also there, Napadiya Ara Bharilena Gadadhar Sabai Vasilena Vedi Prabhu Vishwambhara. He said, stop! Ratnagarbha Gadadhar said, stop, don't speak anymore. Then everyone sat down around Vishwambhara. Shaneke Haila Bhaya Dristi Ghorarai Ki Bala Prabhu Jignyase Sadai. Because, as you know, earlier, when Nimai, or Sachinandan, was in some Purvarag, he was exhibiting some ecstatic symptoms and searching for Krishna, wanting to rip open his chest to find Krishna. Then Gadadhar intervened and said, oh, my lord, please. And Sachimata, she understood that Gadadhar could control her son's ecstasy. So she said, listen, Gadadhar, you always stay with Nimai and protect him. So now Gadadhar is stepping forth. He's stepping forward and protecting Nimai, Vishwambhara Mahaprabhu, per the instruction of Sachimata and per the flow of the Leela on the dictate of Yogamaya. So Gadadhar is appropriately speaking at this time, because one might say, what is this? Why is he saying stop? Because in the previous two verses, he says, Bala Bala Bali Prabhu Hunkara Kariya. Hunkara. He's roaring, hey Acharya, Ratnagarbha, more shlokas. But now, with those shlokas he's going to recite, which are filled with Braja Prem, Lord Chaitanya is going to leave his body. He's going to go so much in ecstatic, he's going to go become so ecstatic, he'll become a vasta chitta. He'll become unconscious for days and months. Knowing this, that this, and precipitating or predicting this might happen, Gadadhar, who understands all this flow of Brajabhava and what's going to happen when this volcano, this golden volcano of Lord Chaitanya's heart erupts upon hearing those shlokas, he says, stop, stop, hey, stop, put a lid on it. Okay, cool it. Everyone's looking, oh, you're stopping the ecstasies of Vishambhara? What's with you? Because they don't know. Who can understand the mind of a lover except the beloved? Only the beloved knows the mind of the lover. So no one knows the mind of Gauranga like Gadadhar. Who can understand? Because Gadadhar is Radha, and Gauranga is Krishna, and Gauranga is also Radha. So then, after a short time, Gauranga regained his external consciousness and inquired, what did I say? What did you say? Prabhupada, ki chanchalya karilana ami? Paduya sakala bhale? Kritya kritya tumi? The Lord asked his students, have I been restless? In other words, for the last hour or so, the Lord's been rolling on the floor in ecstasy and then jumped up in internal consciousness and immediately embraced the nearest thing nearest person near him, who was Ratnagarbha Acharya, and wrapped him in a network of prema. And then he started reciting more shlokas, and again they went in their own internal ecstasies. And the students are simply observing all this. And how do they reply to that question? When their teacher, Nimai Pandit, said, have I been restless? And the student said, your actions are glorious. Ki balite pariyama sabara shakati aptagane nivarila nakarya stuti. What power do we have to explain your activities? That's what the student said. What can we say? Then the Aptagon, Apta means own family, the Aptagon, the group of his intimate associates, intervened and told the students, don't indulge in praising him. Bahaya Pai Vishambara Apana Sambare Sarvagane Chalilena Ganga Dekibare. Upon regaining his consciousness, Vishambhara restrained himself and he went with his associates to see Ganga. Sarvagan Ganga Deki. Sarvagan. So he took it. So this is another ecstatic interlude or episode of Gauranga's Nagar Kirtan. Of course, now it's not really Nagar Kirtan. The objective was to challenge everyone in Sanskrit and logic and defeat them. But somehow he ended up in Brajbhav and ecstasy. Ganga namaskari ganga jala nilashire goshtira sahita vasilena ganga tire. Vishambhara offered obeisances, namaskar, ganga namaskar, to Ganga, and he sprinkled water on his head. Ganga jala nilashire. Then he sat down on the bank of Ganga with his associates. Ganga tire. Jamanara tire jena bedi gopagan nana krida karilena Nandera Nandan Seimata Shachira Nandan Ganga Tire Bhaktera Sahita Krishna Prasange Vihare. As Nanda Nandan, once Nanda Nandan, surrounded by the cowherd boys, enjoyed various sporting activities on the bank of the Jamuna, Shachinandan, surrounded by his devotees, enjoyed discussing topics of Krishna on the bank of the Ganga. So these leelas are running on parallel tracks, Gaur Leela and Krishna Leela. Krishna's relishing the sweetness of associating with his friends and lovers and relatives and parents. And Gauranga, he is in that time to time, he's in that same mood of Krishna. And then he's also absorbing himself in Brajbhav. And his associates enter into the mood of Gauranga in Brajbhav. And then they start remembering Krishna and his Banbihar, or his Bhojantali, or his other leelas with the gopas. And then they start singing bhajans and entering deeply into this Brajbhav, relishing this madhurya, the sweetness. Siddhanta Saraswati Pad is telling As Nandanandan enjoyed his pastimes with the gopis on the banks of the Kalindi, Sachinandan, surrounded by his students, Shishyagan, similarly engaged in Harikatha, glorifying the Nam Rup Gun and Leela of Krishna while sitting on the bank of the Ganga. Rather than accepting that Gaurasundar spent his time discussing topics of Krishna, the foolish Gaura Nagaris imagined that Gauranga was a Nagar, an amorous lover. In order to counteract such imagination, the author has used the phrase Krishna Prasanga, or topics related to Krishna, while describing Krishna's pastimes or Krishna Kirtan. So the Sahajiyas, they take the word Prasanga to, they take that to mean erotic union, because that's also a type of Sangha. Sometimes in discussing conjugal love, they say Sangi. Sangi means my associate, my lover. So they misinterpret this to mean that, union. That Gauranga was in a mood of Krishna and he was enjoying this type of thing. Katashane sabare vidaya diagare Vishambara chalilena apana mandire. After some time, Vishambara took leave of everyone and returned home. Ambojana kariya
sarva bhuvaneranath yoga nidra pratikari lena drishtipat.
After taking his meal, the Lord of the entire universe, Sarva Bhuvanaranath, glanced towards Yoga Nidra. That's very interesting. Drishtipat. Yoga Nidra Prati Karilena Drishtipat. That's it. Very wonderful way. Just see how the poets, because Vedavyas has appeared to glorify Gauranga as Vrindavan Das Thakur. So he came home, he ate, and he took rest. That's what happened. That's very attractive, very poetic, right? He came, he ate, and rest. Went to sleep. But rather than just saying he came, well, who came? Who came? Sarva Bhuvanaranath. Sarva Bhu, Om Bhur Bhuvaswa. Not any ordinary he, not any ordinary person, but the Sarva Bhuvanaranath, the Lord of all the planets, Sarva Bhuvanaranath. It's a very beautiful phrase to glorify Vishvambara. Another way of saying Vishvambara. Vishvambara means the maintainer of the universe, one who's nourishing the universe. Ambara means cover, nourish, one who's covering the universe with love, who's spreading love throughout the universe, who's nourishing the universe with love. Prem Nam Sankirtan, Vishvambara. He's maintaining everyone, because life without love is not worth living. So in the age of Kali, or any age, if one does not receive love of God or Krishna Prem, then his life is useless. He's not really existing. He's not really maintaining anything. He's simply maintaining, dragging on a dead body. So Mahaprabhu is maintaining the universe by giving, distributing love. Because love not only maintains, it sustains and creates a situation where we can live forever when we attain Krishna Prem. So he's describing this Vishambar, Sarva Bhuvanaranath. And then what is he saying? Instead of saying he went to sleep, he glanced at Yoga Nidra. Because the point is, not only is it a poetic way of saying he went to sleep, Yoga Nidra Drishtipat. Drishtipat means he glanced. A part of his glance. He glanced at Yoga Nidra. Because when the Lord rests, he doesn't go into ignorance as we do. But Nidra means sleeping. But it's Yoga Nidra. Means that he connects with his associates. So his resting, just like when Chaturmasi is there. Chaturmasi is coming. When Chaturmasi is there, it says that Vishnu lies down, he goes into Yoga Nidra for 4 months. Yoga Nidra means that he goes into confidential, he enjoys, he has confidential union with Lakshmi Devi in the privacy of their own quarters. He's no longer holding court. He's no longer giving darshan to the demigods. He's no longer doing any maintenance work. Everything's on automatic pilot. Of course, it's only a few hours. It's 8 hours of his time and 4 months of our time. So it's an insignificant portion of time. But that Yoga Nidra is not sleeping. Yoga means union. He's enjoying confidentially and intimately with yoga, with Lakshmi Devi. And then we take Brahma. Brahma, they say the demigods are sleeping for 4 months, but the demigods don't sleep. So what's happening with Brahma during the Chaturmasya? He's going to sleep? He's not going to sleep. He's also having a type of Yoga Nidra. And during this 4 months of our time, he's meeting with his confidential associates, the Saptarishis, the four Kumaras, and a group of pundits and very intellectual people. They meet together and discuss Hari Katha. But he's not involved. He's not involved in any functions of the universe. No one. He's not dealing with any demons or fulfilling anyone's boons. If anyone's doing austerities, worshiping Brahma around the universe, he's not dealing with it. But he's not sleeping. He's having a private sangha. He's going in the back room, going in the back room of his house, you could say, while all these pandas are discussing Harikatha for 4 months. So it's like this. So we might think, all the demigods are just take their pillow and crawl up into a corner somewhere and go to sleep. It's not like that. So when Gauranga, after he takes his Narayan Prasad, he's not going off to sleep. He's not just going to snore somewhere in a corner. He's going with his intimate associates or his intimate associate to engage in various pastimes. Pahaila nisha sarva parujaragan asya vasila punti karita chintan. After the night passed, all the students came and sat down with their books to study. And of course, also, without saying it directly, but glancing at Yoga Nidra can also mean his wife. He's also married. So it can be meaning he spent the night with his beloved. So now the next morning comes and the students come with their books to study. Takura aila jatta kari gangasnan vasya karina prabhu pushtak vakyan. The Lord quickly returned from his bath in the Ganga and after taking his seat began to explain the texts. Prabhura naspure krishna vyati rekyan shabda matre krishna bhakti karaye vakyan. Vishwambar's explanations of the Sanskrit pushtak did not deal with anything that was not related to Krishna. He explained every word in relation to Krishna bhakti. Here we go again. Now he's again merged into his mood of devotion and withdrawn from his participation teaching Sanskrit and logic. The students are like a yo-yo or something, up and down. They're like a seesaw. One minute he's teaching him, then he comes initiating, comes back and goes into his ecstasies of Krishna consciousness, and everything's Krishna. Then they complain to Ganga Das. Then he corrects them, and then Lord Nimai starts teaching Sanskrit again. Then he runs into Ratnagarbha and hears the Bhagavatam. Then he goes into internal consciousness. And then the students, and then he comes out, and now he starts teaching Sanskrit again. Every word is Krishna, everything's Krishna. And the students, here we go again. Paduyasa kalibale datu samgyakar prabhubale Sri Krishna shakti namajar. So here the students say, oh dear teacher, may we ask a question? And they asked, what is the definition of Datu? Datu means some term in Sanskrit, elements or certain construction, the foundation. And Nimai Vishwambar replied, that which is named Krishna's energy. Srila Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur states, In answer to the students' questions, Vishwambar said, "Since Krishna's para, antaranga, or sarup shakti, manifests Krishna's audarya, madhurya, and aishwarya spiritual pastimes, the energy and the energetic are thus inseparably related to each other. Similarly, when words are derived by grammatical construction, the original form of the root of each such expressive word manifests within itself an inseparably joined meaning or potency of expression." So if you can figure out that, then that's very good. In your own time, you can read it over. Dhatu sutra vakane sunaha bahai ghan dekikar shaktiyachi karuka kandan. Oh brothers, I am explaining the aphorisms about Dhatu. Let me see who has the power to refute my explanation. So, go on a little bit. Jata deka raja divya kalevar kanaka bhushita ganda chandan ne sundar. All the kings we have seen had luxurious bodies, decorated with gold, and beautified with fragrant sandalwood paste. Jamalakshmi jahara vachani loke kai dattu bine shunatara ye avashtahai. Although their words determine a person's prosperity or death, hear what happens to them when their dattu leaves their bodies. He's giving me a very interesting meaning of dattu, because the word dattu it's about grammar. There's something called the dattus. But Lord Chaitanya is not answering your question. They're asking a question about Sanskrit grammar. What is the dattu? And he's starting to talk about life airs of the body and the elements. Dattu also means the material elements or the elements of the body. So Lord Chaitanya is answering in this way. Kotajai sarvangera sondarya chaliya kare bhasma kare kare edene puntiya. No one knows where the beauty of the king's bodily limbs goes, as some bodies are burned and some are buried. Then he goes on. The energy of Krishna dwells in the body of every living entity as the dhatu, or active principle. In other words, Lord Chaitanya, they're asking him what is dhatu. So what he's going to do is give every kind of answer what dhatu is, except Sanskrit. Dhatu means this, and dhatu means that. Dhatu means the elements of the body. Dhatu means the soul. Dhatu means... The students are, oh, wow. But while he's doing that, while Nimai is doing that, he's actually enlightening his students. He's actually giving them sambandha gyan, knowledge of the relationship of what is God, what is this world, who is Krishna, what am I, what is the actual reality, what is the difference between the body and the soul. It's very similar to Srila Prabhupada when he's preaching in New York, and one person is asking him. The reporter would ask Prabhupada, oftentimes Prabhupada used this technique, which maybe he learned from Gauranga, Nimai Pandit. Someone would ask, a reporter would ask a question, "Well, Swamiji, when did you start this ISKCON movement?" Or he'd ask some other question, why have you come here from India? So when Prabhupada would answer these questions, he wouldn't actually answer the question. But he would consider, Prabhupada was thinking, this person, this reporter, news reporter, he is a conditioned soul. And although he's asking me these questions, what's really relevant, what's really important, that he gets enlightenment, that he actually receives sambandha gyan, that he actually understands who he is, that there's a difference between the body and the soul, and what his relationship with God is, and he understands something about the need of human life to serve God and engage in devotional service. So Prabhupada would take these questions that they would ask about ISKCON or about why you have a shaved head or whatever, and he wouldn't answer the question at all. He would use that as a springboard to enlighten this individual person, this newspaper reporter. He said, "Yes, actually," he would say, what is this ISKCON? Prabhupada would say, "This Krishna consciousness movement is for everyone. Actually, everyone is part and parcel of God. We're all spiritual beings. And this human form of life is actually meant to serve God. You and me, we may be thinking we're a newspaper reporter or sannyasi or whatever. Actually, we're all spiritual beings beyond this body. And the guy's here listening, trying to be respectful and humble. And he says, well, Swamiji, and he tries to even, after a certain point, he runs out of patience, the reporter. He says, Swamiji, yes, I appreciate what you said, but what I mean to ask is, let me rephrase the question. When did you first start this? When did you first have the idea to give this gospel, this message of God? And Prabhupada said, so actually, the way we can realize self, the way we can actually understand the self is by chanting the names of the Lord. See, in every religious tradition, they have a name of the Lord, Jehovah, Allah. So here in India, we call it Krishna. Now, what does this word Krishna mean? And the guy is again getting more sambandha gyan, and now Nam Tattva, and then Jiva Tattva, and Ishvara Tattva, and he's getting the whole Bhagavad Gita. And all he asked for was when Prabhupada arrived in New York, and what does ISKCON mean? It means International Society of Krishna Consciousness. Oh, thank you. Goodbye. But Prabhupada held the guy's ear for 1 hour. And finally, when he asked his questions again, he said, oh, ISKCON? That's an acronym. ISKCON, that's an acronym. It means International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Acha. And when did you start? It was started July 14th, 1965, in New York. Acha. That's what I wanted to hear, Swamiji. Thank you very much. And he writes it down and walks away. But meanwhile, to answer those two questions, he got 1.5 hours of Harikatha from Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah. So this is what's happening here 500 years ago on the bank of the Ganga, that the students are simply asking a question about Sanskrit. And Lord Chaitanya is going all over the place to give a different idea. This is what's going on. So we have to think. Now he goes on about Dhatu. The energy of Krishna dwells in the body of every living entity as dhatu, or active principle. All affection and devotion is meant for him alone. Due to illusion, teachers cannot understand this, yet consider carefully whether I am right or wrong. There are persons to whom we now offer obeisances and respects, but when the active principle leaves their bodies, we must take bath after touching them. That active principle is the dhatu. The son who is happily nourished on the lap of his father touches the fire of cremation to the mouth of his father after the active principle leaves him. That which is called dhatu is the power of Krishna, the beloved of all. Is there anyone who can refute my explanation? The students are there, oh my God. Here he goes again. He's exhibiting a disturbance of his life errors. Because that's what they said previously. When he started to get into preaching about Krishna, the students, as the verse was telling us, he said, they were saying to each other, it appears that our teacher is going wacko. His life errors, they said, Vayu, it's the verse we read, we remember two classes ago, his life errors are being disturbed. So when life errors go disturbed, you become crazy. And you speak all kinds of crazy talk. Hey, you know, I'm the prime minister. Everyone should listen to me. So that means the guy's drunk, he's crazy, he's disturbed. So this is what Lord Chaitanya is telling. He's telling, giving him quite perfect knowledge. E mata pavitra puja, ye krishnara shakti, hena krishna bhai sabha kara dhrida bhakti. Oh, brothers, please render unflinching devotional service unto Krishna, whose energy is most pure and worshipable. Dridha Bhakti. Bala Krishna Bhaja Krishna Shuna Krishnanam Aharnisha Sri Krishna Charanakara Dhyan. Vishnubhara said, Bala Krishna Bhaja Krishna Shuna Krishnanam. Chant the name of Krishna, worship Krishna, and hear the name of Krishna, Shuna Krishnanam. Day and night meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna. Ahar Nisha Sri Krishna Charan Karadhyan. The students are thinking, well, here we go again. So interesting. See, previously when he was teaching them, When he broke into this Krishna mood, he was simply exhibiting his ecstasies to attract them. Remember, he was in ecstasy and they were observing his ecstasy. So he was showing them the sadhya, This is the sadhya, or the goal of Krishna consciousness, to experience the ecstasies of the rapture, the divine rapture of bhakti ras and Krishna prem. So they were seeing this. And, oh, and then he came out and started teaching them some bandha gyan. And now again when he went back into this internal mood of Krishna consciousness, and now he's, of course, after relishing that, now he's come out to the audarya to distribute. He's not going to teach dhatu and sanskrit. He's going to teach and preach. This is audarya aspect of Mahaprabhu, Vishwambhara. So now what is he giving them? He's giving them some bandha gyan, explaining dhatu. You're taking their question about dhatu and saying, yes, you know what dhatu is? Dhatu means the soul. And dhatu means these elements. And this body will be burned up. And the son will crack the head of the father with a piece of bamboo and the cremation and the funeral pyre. So the dhatu, the soul, doesn't stay attached to the dhatu of the body. The dhatu of the soul, the element, the essential element, the dhatu of the soul, the atma, will leave the body when you crack the head, because the last place the soul hides out is in the head. When the body's being burned up, the soul takes shelter in the bones, because the bones burn slow. The soul goes into the head, because usually we live in our head anyway. We're always speculating, and anyways, the soul is always living in his head. I feel this, I think that, I will this. So now, Lord Chaitanya has concluded his sambandha, and he's so merciful that now he's giving them abhideya. What is the abhideya? What is the abhideya? Abhideya means the practice. He's telling them, Puja Krishna Shakti Drita Bhakti. He's saying, now do devotional service. Look, I've given you the abhideya. You asked me about dhatu, so now I'll give you sambandha gyan. Now you have the sambandha gyan. Now what do you do with it? You practice. What do? You practice bhakti. How? Drita Bhakti. Firm, steady, determined, don't break. Then they say, okay, you say practice Drita Bhakti. What do you mean by Drita Bhakti? Okay, now I'll tell you the next verse of abhideya. Bala Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Shuna Krishna Nam. This is abhideya. Chant Krishna's name. This is bhakti. This is Drita Bhakti. Worship Krishna. This is Drita Bhakti. Hear the name of Krishna. Hear Hari Gita, the name of Krishna day and night. Ahara Nisha. This is, and dhyan. Charana dhyan. Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam. These are the three essential limbs of bhakti. So he's giving the whole abhideya in two verses. He's giving the whole science of bhakti in two verses. Do bhakti. What is bhakti? Hear and chant and remember Krishna. So now the next verse, the student should say, yes, please, will you initiate us? Give us a name. So next verse, what does he say? Now I've told you about Shravanam and Kirtanam. Now I'm going to tell you about Archanam. So step by step, he's telling them the nine limbs of devotion. Janhara charane durva jale dile matra. Kabo nahe jamarase adikara patra. Now the Lord has told him, now you can see the flow here. This Lord Chaitanya is really in his audarya bhav now. In other words, we have a phrase in English, you asked for it. All the students asked was an innocent question. Oh dear teacher of Sanskrit, can you please explain the Sanskrit term dhatu? Oh yes, dhatu means the Hare Krishna movement. Dhatu means the nine limbs of devotional service. Dhatu means you're not the body. Acha. So he's giving them an entire course in Krishna consciousness based on asking one question, dhatu. Vishwambhara said, Janhara charani durva jale dilamatra kabo nahi jamera seyadikara patra. Now he's telling him how to do archan. Anyone who offers a little water or durva grass at the feet of the Lord is never subjected to the punishment of Yamaraj. So now he's telling them, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yo Me Bhakti Prayachati Tadaham Bhakti Parayatam Ashnami Prayatatmanah. As Krishna told Arjuna on the battlefield, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra about bhakti, abhideya, how to do sadhana, and how for all of us to do sadhana, he who offers me with love and devotion, bhakti prayachati, a leaf, a flower, a water, some water, then I accept that, right? So now the same teachings are happening 4,500 years later on the bank of the Ganga with Krishna and Arjuna. Arjuna is the Shishyagan, the Sanskrit students of Nimai Pandit Vishwambhara Mahaprabhu, and the teacher is Gauranga, Vishwambhara. So you can see how Vishwambhara is so much in Krishna Leela. He's in Krishna Leela as a teacher, he's in Krishna Leela as a relisher, he's in Krishna Leela Madhurya, he's in Krishna Leela Audarya. Aga baka putanare jay kaila mochan. Baja baja say nandan 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 charan. Worship the lotus feet of Nanda Nandan, who delivered Agasura Bakasura Putana. So I think we'll stop there. Now we have our next class. So he's giving wonderful discussion, he's giving wonderful teachings to his students and to everyone who studies Chaitanya Bhagavat. Chaitanya Bhagavat, like the Srimad Bhagavatam, describes the glories of the Lord and how to serve Him. So especially Chaitanya Bhagavat is describing the science of serving Krishna, the seva. So any questions?
I heard that that there's a difference in the historical account given by Gavikanapale Chaitanya Chandodaya, that Nimai Pandit did not see Vishnupriya before he went to take sannyas. Are you familiar with this account?
It's not exactly on a topic, although we briefly mentioned something about Yoga Nidra. He's saying that Lord Chaitanya did not see Vishnupriya until he took sannyas.
He left in the morning and didn't come back in the evening.
What do you mean by not seeing? I don't quite understand what you're saying.
Well, Chaitanya Bhagavat says that my Bhante went to bed and then rose in the middle of the night. But Chaitanya Chandodaya says that he left in the morning and instead of coming back to take the last meal in the evening, he did not come back. He spent the night in Kirtan and went to Ketwan.
What is your question exactly? You're saying that he never saw, in his whole life, he never saw Vishnupriya?
The last day.
You're talking about the last day.
Yes.
Well, that different acharyas who write biographies have different ideas about that. So I can't, what can I say? I can repeat the different ideas, but what the conclusion is, I haven't heard any of our acharyas say the particular conclusion. I can say that from Chaitanya Mangal viewpoint, because we translate that in English, and the edition we used was the edition that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur distributed in Bhagavazar. In 1929, he distributed one edition of Chaitanya Mangal, which we translated into English. Now, Lochandas Thakur, he explains, as is told by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So generally, when we answer a question amongst our Sangha, we will refer to our Guru Parampara. They are Mahajans. So what Bhaktivinoda believes and what Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada states, and what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati states, we, the followers, at least in ISKCON and Gaudiya Math, we accept that as our Praman, Guru Shastra and Sadhu. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he translated and distributed Chaitanya Mangal by Lochandas Thakur. And in the edition that he distributed, he's telling Chaitanya Mangal that the last night, the Vishnupriya and Vishambar spent the night in conjugal delight. The last night. And in the early morning, which can be considered night and morning, because some people define day as after the sun rises, and some people define day as Brahma Muhurta. There's different definitions of what is night and what is day, because it's like that. So then that early that morning, before sunrise, which can also be called day or night, Vishwambar left. And his mother was waiting at the door, Sachimata. He had some small interaction with her. I just looked and just left. That's told in Chaitanya Mangal, and that was accepted by and distributed by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. What Kavi Karnapur is saying in Chaitanya Chandradaya, I can't say. I'm not familiar just now. But I would tend to favor what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati presents, because he's my Param Guru. Is that okay?
Well, basically my question is, since Guru is omniscient, Kavi Kalambur was really qualified, I don't understand why such a qualified poet as he would have a different account, but
Well, I can also answer that question. Among the in Vaishnav Avidan by Haridas Das, he was a very reputable devotee in the time, and he collected all these different, like, encyclopedia of all the great Vaishnavas and their contributions and beliefs and books and whatnot, deities. And it is generally accepted in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya across the board by the acharyas, contemporary acharyas at the time, and subsequent acharyas afterwards, that Kavi Karnapur was not a student of history. He was not a student of history, and he didn't have any concern with history or historical accuracy. Kavi Karnapur was primarily a rasic poet. Obviously, he's a Nitya Parishad of the Lord. That goes without saying. But he's not recognized or even looked towards for any historical accuracy by any acharyas in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. They don't cite, I've never heard, and they even specifically say that they don't cite his works as a basis for any praman for historical points. His works are cited as sources of praman for philosophical points and for ras. That's what I understand about Kavi Karnapur, because we produced two books of Kavi Karnapur, Ananda Vrindavan Champu and Krishnanika Komudi. So we did a thorough study about Kavi Karnapur's life and contribution, and this is what we understand about Kavi Karnapur, who also wrote Chaitanya Chandramdraya, which you are quoting from. So we don't look to Kavi Karnapur's books for historical points or as a source of historical reference or praman. Nor does anyone use them in any course of discussion. So you may take the lead of that and not use Kavi Karnapur's works for historical support.